Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going? How's married life?
It's fantastic now that everyone has left and it's just the two of us.
Yeah, you guys had a little packed house there, I saw.
Well, just a tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit. Four cats, a dog, children, multiple people.
Six kids, three adults, you know, the usual.
Yeah, the usual. Other news, this is episode 50. Matt, you think we'd make it this far when we started this?
Oh, we're going the long haul. I see us at episode 500, easily.
Episode 500, wow. That is going to be off. That's off in the distance. I try not to think that far ahead. But we'll get there quicker than we thought we would. We keep doing two episodes a week. We'll get there faster than we thought. Before we get into this week's episode, a few notes. Of course, Sam Simon news passed away recently. Rest in peace, Sam Simon. Show would not exist as we know it without his, I don't know, presence, without his mind, without his, ability. I mean, his kind of his ascent into, I don't know if I would call it stardom, but into importance. I mean, he was so young when he was started with The Simpsons, and it's really incredible that he was so successful so quickly. I think we all have lost people to cancer, so it's very sad, but his money is continuing to do good things, and that's I think a legacy that will last even beyond The Simpsons is his charity. That's what I do, man. I bring it down.
That's okay. I understand. Sam Simon was a very, very great man, especially as much for The Simpsons as for his charity work. But you know, like you said, that's the charity work is what's going to last probably longer because of all the help he did for stray animals and animals that were mistreated. He saved dozens and set up a lot of charities for them. So
yeah,
I enjoy him for that even more.
Exactly. But rest in peace. I'm a little scatterbrained. This week's episode, Homer Alone, episode 8F14, originally aired February 6, 1992, written by David Stern, directed by Mark Kirkland. Originally aired, let's see, episode acquired a 14.2 Nielsen rating, viewed approximately 13.08 million homes, finished 25th in the ratings. Highest rated show on Fox that week. It continues the streak. The chalkboard gag.
It's amazing.
I will not spank others, which...
That is a good thing until you're about, 18, 19, Robbie, and then you can go back on that. It's okay.
I'm not going to try and make any kind of judgment. I would say, as long as they're willing, go for it.
Exactly.
Couch gag. Family forms a pyramid with Maggie on top. It's really cute. I like it. Let's see, guest starring Phil Hartman, Troy McClure. Seems they're putting Phil Hartman in like every episode this season. It seems like we've had a run of Phil Hartman in every single one, which I'm not complaining. I'll take all.
Yeah, seriously, it's like, oh, you know, as long as he's not, you know, busy on news radio or SNL, or if he's in the studio for one of those, hey, can you come over and just do a quick voice?
Yeah, there's a reason I pull pretty much almost every time there's a Phil Hartman clip. I pull it just because I like to hear his voice. Let's see. Episode begins with a Looney Tunes homage with the Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner bit with Bart and Homer. Homer chasing Bart with the backgrounds repeating, and they have the Latin names, the gag Latin names. It's great. This whole first act is setting up Marge and her breakdown. I pulled this first clip, and it really just showed. It's kind of an extension of that display she put on in Blood Feud, where she is able to name all their blood types and all their ring sizes and all that weird stuff. And this is even furthering that, except it's also like showing how the stress level she's at. I really, really like it.
Extra mustard for Bart, sliced diagonally, not lengthwise. Light mayo for Lisa, cut off the crust. Double bologna for home.
Mom, can you see my lucky red cap? Mom, where's my lucky red cap?
Mom, I hate Mom, those pimento things. They make me gag.
Mom, I'm just with my pants again. Could I have two sandwiches today? Make the bologna sandwiches too. Could I have two slices of bologna?
One at a time.
Double bologna. Don't forget to make it double bologna because you can hardly take the bologna.
There you go, Lisa. No pimentos. Bart, your hat's where you left it, behind the toilet. Homer, I'll sew your pants, but I'm out of bologna.
Thanks, Mom.
Don't!
For Homer, he always gets the short end of the stick.
He needs the double bologna, because you can't taste the bologna if it's only one piece of bologna.
Exactly. Bologna is a very flavorful meat.
But this is everything we see is like showing Marge's building stress level. Bart and Lisa are late for the school bus, so she has to take them to school. She's taking the cat to the vet. Homer stuck a bottle cap in one of the finger holes for his bowling ball.
Sure, it was a dare.
I don't know why or how you do that, but it's Homer. She has to take that in for repair. You know, it's just all the stress and stress and stress is building. She has to go to two different bowling shops because apparently there's two Nick's bowling shops in Springfield.
And neither one can help her.
Neither one can help. One of them has a framed picture of Jacques up on the wall for those freeze framers.
Well, he is a local celebrity.
He is. He's the bowling expert of the town, I suppose. Marge is getting tenser and tenser. You see her getting kind of, her hair's getting a little frizzled. Like, it, you know, that's usually the easy sign of someone getting stressed. She's in the car and the radio plays an awful prank call, which is not that crazy. It's, you know, for some of the quote-unquote morning zoo radio, DJ guys who would just do awful things just for ratings. But all of this goes into, like, a kind of sequence, and Marge kind of loses it.
Marge, Megan,
where's my lucky red cap?
Bowling ball.
Your wife is dead.
I haven't flushed a bowl in years.
See what it was that knocked her over the edge? It was Maggie spilling her milk. Children leads nervous breakdowns.
They don't. They certainly don't help necessarily. I mean, I guess they could. They could ease that stress. You know, they're cute and lovable, and they love you in return. Right, Matt?
No, absolutely not. I'm sorry.
It's a great comedic bit at the end of that where Marge just calmly puts on her blinkers, what do you call them,
Emergency flashers?
Yeah, her flashers just calmly, boop. It's parked in the middle of a bridge. There's a truck driver who takes it upon himself to try and... Or is it the school? Is it a bus? Bus driver. Takes it upon himself to talk to Marge.
Look, lady, this better be good.
I do enjoy the. I think the last time that, what episode was that Marge went and made some animalistic noise, Matt? What's that one when Homer brought home flowers? Some Enchanted Evening.
It was, yes, that's what
some
it's called.
Yeah, Some Enchanted Evening. She does also the same similar thing. The news picks up on the fact that there's a car stopped in the middle of a bridge with traffic backing up. Arnie Pie's there, and then Ken Brockman is there. Eventually, the cops come and try and talk her down. Homer's at the plant still, and the act that we go to commercial with him making fun of the fact that there's a stressed out a mother in a car. Until we see that's Marge, and then Homer is not so happy. But that is the end of the act.
And when we come back, we see Homer running towards the bridge saying, hey, wait, she's my wife. She's my wife. Let me through. And of course, the police are there to say, oh, it all makes sense now. Because, you know, Homer looks like the kind of guy who would neglect his wife and has. So there you go. But he immediately walks up to Police Chief Wiggum, and Wiggum gives him the bullhorn, and he gets a little help on what to say.
What should I say?
Well, how about yes, it's me?
Yes, it's me.
I'll tell her I love her.
I love you very much.
Aww.
And later tonight, I think you and I should snuggle.
Of course, this actually works because Homer goes on to tell Marge how much he loves her and how much he's a bad husband and wants to try better. And Marge, being Marge, actually believes him. Which, you know, we know that Homer means he's just an idiot.
But Marge, I did like the fact that Wiggum was coaching Homer on how to talk to his wife.
Well, of course, because Homer has no idea.
I know. I love the fact that it's Wiggum who's actually, it shows Wiggum is not just this complete idiot bumbling fool. Like, they give him a little bit of a character there.
he knows a little bit of something about pleasing a woman, you know?
Of course.
But anyway, as soon as Marge steps out of the car, she is immediately arrested by Chief Wiggum and taken down to jail, where she has taken pictures taken of her. And, of course, the woman taking the pictures tells her, oh, we know how you feel. And so Marge says, oh, that's nice. Can you loosen my cuffs? No. And then there was a great back and forth between Wiggum and Mayor Quimby.
Yeah, is this Oh,
don't you worry, Mr. Mayor. This little bird will be cracking rocks by the end of the week.
Wiggum, you glorified night watchman, let her go.
But she broke the law.
Thanks for the civics lesson. Now listen to me. If Marge Simpson goes to jail, I can kiss the chick vote goodbye. And if I go down, you're gonna break my fall.
Word to the wise, Quimby. Don't write checks, your butt can't cash.
Hear me loud and clear, Wiggum. You bite me, I'll bite back.
You talk the talk, Quimby, but do you walk the walk?
I hereby declare today to be Marge Simpson Day in the city of Springfield.
That's got to be, at this point, I believe each Simpson has a day in Springfield named after them for something.
I was going to ask, is this the first time we see that tension, the rivalry between Quimby and Wiggum?
I believe so. We haven't even seen a whole lot of Quimby before this, except for the occasional, you know,
press conference
press conference, that sort of thing.
So yeah, we see this multiple times later on with them kind of arguing back and forth about who has the most power, but the birth of it is here.
That's true. And the best one is obviously Homer versus the 18th Amendment when they talk about he gets two comely lasses of virtue true.
And a pig. Someone gets a pig.
And
right?
A pig. That's right. Yeah. But anyway, Marge is, of course, set free because, you know, that would be a really dick thing to do to put her in jail. So it would only happen in, like, Texas and Florida. But when they go home, Homer is like, oh, all is well that ends well, and rolls over and goes to sleep. And Marge is, of course, still upset by this, and she's like, no, 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 wait, that's not going to cut it. But as she's going to sleep, she hears the commercial for Rancho Relaxo.
Many years ago, the Spanish explorers discovered their little piece of heaven nestled in the Springfield Mountains. They called it Rancho Relaxo, and so do we. Today, it's Springfield's only two-star health spa. Swim, play tennis, or just sit and stare at the walls. At Rancho Relaxo, you're the boss. Remember, you can't spell Relaxo without relax.
Which is just fantastic. Springfield's only two-star health spa. And the really great thing is that I feel like the audio design for that is exactly what you would get in a real commercial, because you have all the background noises and the music is dead on. And it's just really well done, so you could actually believe it as a real commercial. But at this point, Marge wakes Homer up and tells him, hey, we're going on separate vacations. And Homer, of course, loses his mind. We're getting a divorce. But luckily, Marge is like, no. I need some time away from you and the kids because, well, you're driving me crazy, as we saw today. So Homer acquiesces, but he makes Marge swear that she's coming back. And of course, Marge, you know, plans on coming back. We'll just put it that way. So the day comes and Marge is sending Bart and Lisa off to stay with Patty and Selma, who have agreed to watch them because obviously Marge doesn't trust Homer, because you shouldn't trust Homer.
No.
Patty and Selma luckily have 6 months of maternity leave they're never going to use, which actually turns out to not be true. And I believe it's Selma's case when they adopt the baby at some point. They try and adopt a baby. I can't remember. I think they try and adopt a baby and they go to China, something like that. It's in one of the later seasons, you know. It's good. Anyway. But
Matt Thorne is not good.
Well, we'll see. I was actually looking for the later seasons, looking for trivia questions, and I'm like, I don't remember any of these episodes, so I gotta go back and watch them again.
Exactly.
But Maggie, on the way out of the house, says she sees Patty and Selma and says immediately no. She doesn't say it, obviously, but she grabs onto the railing and just will not let go. And, of course, Homer, being the weakling that he is, cannot get her to leave. Marge, of course, being the great mom that she is, says, well, maybe she should stay here with you if she doesn't want to go with Patty and Selma. And I honestly don't think Maggie would like that much more, but she seems okay with it. So Bart and Lisa go off with Patty and Selma. Marge, Homer, and Maggie head to the train station, where Homer does a great running after the train bit, because Homer is asking a whole bunch of questions about, you know, where's this, where's that. And it, my favorite question is, how do I use the pressure cooker? And Marge's only answer is, don't. Because if Homer did, he would destroy the house, I'm sure.
It would explode.
Have you ever used a pressure cooker? Those things are dangerous.
Maybe in the early 90s, they didn't have as many safety valves and all that stuff, but you're pretty foolproof.
That's
now,
true. I don't know. I haven't seen one used since the early 2000s, and even then, it was like, all right, you have to be extremely careful not to open this at certain times.
There's enough locks on it, you can't hurt yourself.
Probably true. So Marge leaves on the train, which is stopping by the Cattle Skull Testing Grounds and Rancho Relaxo, because those are in the same area. Obviously.
What's the Cattle Skull Testing Grounds, Matt? What is that? What is that?
A testing ground weapons? Is for testing weapons. Yes.
Yeah.
And I assume Cattle Skull is just, you know, it's the old Native American name for it.
Oh, good. That's good. That's excellent.
I guess it's where cows go to die, so they just test weapons there to kill all the old cows.
Is this radioactive weapons? Is that what we're talking about? Nuclear weapons?
Knowing Springfield, I would say probably yes.
Okay, good. It's good to know.
But Homer and Maggie go home. And I really loved Homer's explanation of why Mommy has left for Maggie.
Sorry, honey. Mommy went crazy and went far, far away. So it's going to be just you and me for a while. Just you and me.
That is the most terrifying explanation from perspective. If you can see Homer, he's like, he's folding his fingers in over a picture frame over Bart, Lisa, and Marge. And it's terrifying for Maggie, I'm sure, because she's like, oh, so it's just me and this guy? Oh, hell no. But of course, you know, Homer tries his best and utterly fails with Maggie. He does her 9 a.m. feeding at like 11:30. He barely ever changes Maggie. It's just, you know, the kind of things that you think of when Homer and you think of a dad.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. Think of all those times when you were alone with your dad. How great was he at raising you?
It wasn't bad.
Nah, mine wasn't bad, but there was definitely a lack of familiarity there with that, what to do.
It was just you're a little bit more on your own.
Exactly. It taught you to grow up a little bit.
Sure.
Then we get to meet Troy McClure, who is our guide to Rancho Relaxo. And I really wanted to capture this clip, but it is surprisingly long. It's like a minute and a half. So I decided to just capture the movies that are available at Rancho Relaxo.
Today's selections are
Thelma and Louise, The Happy Little Elves Meet Fuzzy Snuggle Duck, and The Erotic Awakening of S.
Which is a great spectrum there. It's like, oh, you want something family-friendly, something middle of the road, or, you know, the finest movies, R-rated movies Europe has to offer.
I was about to say, the finest R-rated movies Europe has to offer with a with that Phil Hartman throws in there.
I have to mention Chef Rodrigo's 14-calorie soup.
I was about to, I just want to point out one thing that I just found out. That, do you know the band Primus, Matt?
Yes.
Their bassist, Les Claypool, and the lead singer, he named his house Rancho Relaxo.
Nice.
So.
That is fantastic.
Another reason to like Primus, those weird fellas.
Is it a ranch-style house?
I don't know. I don't have all that information in front of me.
It would just be funnier if it wasn't.
Mm.
So Marge, of course, does all the things you do at a relaxing resort like that. She, you know, she goes for a massage. She hangs out in the mud baths. She plays a little bit of tennis. She watches a movie. We're not told which one, but I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, she's watching Thelma and Louise later in the bath.
Right, but, you know, what she watches after that, you know, it's pretty obvious. It's Happy Little Elves. I mean, come on. It's Marge here.
Of course.
We then, of course, cut to Barney showing up at the house with Homer. And, of course, Homer's like, oh, well, thanks for keeping me company. Barney, being a childless adult, says, oh, this is obviously a little Bart who I met 10 years ago and looks the same. And I just loved it because Barney's joke of, oh, somebody smells stinky. Oh, it's me. Because that's the kind of guy Barney is. And then we get to check in on Bart and Lisa, who are having tongue sandwiches with Patty and Selma.
Ugh.
And Lisa, yeah, tongue is disgusting. But hey, that's kind of weird foods that old people eat. So beware of food that old people give you kids.
The Patty and Selma aren't even that old.
No, but they're weird. So the weirder you are, the older you seem. But of course, Lisa wants to go to bed because it's, what, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it gets her away from them.
It's not even so 5. Course, it's earlier than that.
Oh, is it?
I thought it was like 2:30.
Yeah. But Lisa wants to go to bed, and she finds out that, oh, Bart and Lisa get to sleep in the same bed as Patty and Selma. That won't warp them at all. Not in the slightest. Then we actually see when Patty and Selma are watching MacGyver, Bart starts going through their stuff and finds one of their giant bras and a gun, which turns out to be a blackhead gun, which before watching this episode, I had never heard of. And now it haunts my nightmares.
Yeah, it's a thing you get rid of blackheads with.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's gross. It's gross.
It's gross. It's the kind of thing you don't want anyone else to ever touch, and you don't want to touch anyone else's. It's a very personal item.
Yes, precisely.
So that night, Homer goes in to put Maggie to bed, and I guess he's supposed to look drunk with the messed up hair and the wrinkled shirt.
He has Barney over. It's the implication it's in the research I've done on this one. The writers wanted to make it more overt, but they eventually made it so that he just looks kind of disheveled.
He's tired. Yeah, he's exhausted from taking care of a baby.
Yeah, and drinking with Barney.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not drunk. I'm just tired. I've been up all night drinking.
Yeah, and he sings a great little lullaby to Maggie about Christmas, which is nowhere nearby. But hey,
it does not put her to sleep.
Nope, not in the slightest, because she's terrified. And of course, Homer leaves at that point, despite Maggie not being asleep, and Maggie being the pint-sized adventurer that she is, decides she's going to go out and find Marge on her own, and leaves. She just jumps out the window, essentially, and starts trying to find Marge. And of course, Homer goes in the next morning for another incredibly late feeding, only 2.5 hours. Good job, Homer. And sees Maggie missing, and then we cut to black.
Cut to black. Dun dun dun. Not really. It's actually this is my favorite part of this entire episode is Maggie on her own, just looking for Marge shaped things. Like she leaves the house and there's a bush outside that has Marge's hair, and she goes to a salon where an older lady has gotten Marge's haircut for some reason. She's hard.
Hey,
she's
a stylish hard-hearted. Haircut, man.
She can't even put a bag over her head, apparently. Maggie was. She goes to back to the bowling store. She sees a guy with the squeaky voice teen in a British in the Buckingham Palace guard outfit with their big head, the big helmet, furry helmet thing.
Come on, Maggie, that's black, not blue. You know better than that, girl.
Yeah, she's a baby, and I think she sees the silhouette. So
that's true.
But she ends up eventually on the top of the ice cream store because the ice cream store has on top of it a ice cream cone that is the top of it looks like Marge's hair, which is really cute. Maggie just ends up sleeping up there. At the same time, Homer is looking for Maggie.
Barney, I've lost a baby. It's the worst thing I've ever done.
Don't worry. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you an omelet.
Just help me look.
Are you sure? I make them with 2 kinds of cheese.
Come on.
Wow.
That omelet sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's 2 kinds of cheese. Marge is back at still Rancho Relaxo, kind of enjoying. She's done all the official activities, and now Troy McClure has a goodbye and also kind of an idea, motivational message for her.
By now you've seen what Rancho Relaxo has to offer.
Uh-huh.
But remember, we can't tell you how to have a good time. You have to tell us. As I said to Dolores Montenegro in Calling All Quakers, have it your way, baby.
I pulled that just because it's Phil Hartman.
True. Does it continue to the point where you see what Marge orders?
No, she orders tequila and ice cream sundae.
Yeah.
And just sits in the bathtub eating ice cream, drinking tequila, sipping tequila, and watching Thelma and Louise and relaxing. She looks pretty relaxed, to be fair. She's definitely relaxoed. Homer has gotten to the point where he has given up hope that he's going to find Maggie. And he's trying to come up with excuses for Marge when she finally gets home.
Marge, Maggie was very young. It's not like we got so attached to her. No. Marge, isn't life funny?
One day they're babies. The next thing you know, they're off on their own.
You the man who reported the lost baby?
Yes.
Can you describe her?
She's small. She's a girl.
Bingo!
Oh, Reggie!
Not so fast. You're wanted on 3 counts of criminal neglect.
You found my baby. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Shucks. Just don't do it again, you big lug.
I love Wiggum's reaction to being kissed by Homer. It's so funny.
I love his description of Maggie. Small, she's a girl. That's all you need.
Hey, that's a baby. Yeah, Homer had, I do want to mention, it did call the missing baby hotline. It broke down in tears. So he's found Maggie, or, well, Maggie and Wiggum have found him. He eventually goes back to Patty and Selma's and reclaims Bart and Lisa, who are very happy to leave their aunts behind. And Marge and the family are reunited at the train station.
Hi, did you miss me?
Never leave again.
I missed you too.
It's really fun. They have a visual sequence where it's Marge is holding up a picture of her family, and then she moves the picture, and they are all there, but looking tired and worn out and disheveled.
No one likes when Marge goes away because they can't take care of themselves at all.
No, they can't. And this is that's kind of the thesis of this whole episode, is that Marge's importance is reaffirmed, I guess, when she returns. They can't function without her. They need Marge, and she's the linchpin. You know, the episode ends with them all sleeping in the same bed, like the Waltons, and you know, everyone is like trying to reassure Marge, say, "Don't worry, it will never, any of that will ever happen again." And that's how the episode ends.
So adorable.
Yeah, it's a nice one. It's not spectacular or anything, but it's good. It has solid gags. A lot of fun Maggie stuff. A good kind of a Marge episode that's not really about Marge, I guess.
True. I mean, it's actually, I feel like it's more Homer than Marge in this episode, but yeah. You get a nice mix.
Yeah, it's not, it's the focus on, you get each kind of family member kind of dealing with Marge going like kind of a little bit crazy, you know, from stress and being overwhelmed by family stuff. And it's fun. It's not amazing, but it's not bad. It's good. It's as good as... I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of a corollary for it in our list, and I couldn't think of one. So we're going to have to discuss that a little bit, Matt.
Oh.
At the end of the show, we will rank it. Let's see. Next up, remind you guys, keep sending in my favorite episode submissions. Let's see. SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Send us an email explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. And we'll read it when we get to that episode. We got a few coming up. Really excited about that. Next up, comments from the news group. Not much there. There's not a lot for this week, for this episode. There's a lot of... Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
There's not a lot of controversial about this episode. Nothing really stands out. It's like, it's the kind of standard sitcom thing. So I can't imagine they would have much to talk about.
No, it's just kind of like... I think in this point in the season, the episodes were coming out very regularly. So there wasn't a lot of time for them to debate about things in between. Like, when there's, like, big gaps over the holidays and stuff like that, there's more debate just because there's not much to talk about. But this our next episode comes very quickly after it, so there's not a big gap in between. Next up, our listener question of the week. What is your favorite Simpsons alter ego? Wow, response to this was crazy. I was not expecting it. I thought this was a little bit of an oddball question, but... We got tons of responses, and I got enough answers that I might have changed my mind on my answer. I was swayed, I think.
Whoa.
I know, Matt. We were in agreement, but we may not be anymore. Let's see. First up, we have John at ChopStyle311. His answer, the Thompsons. It's so secretive, not even Homer knows he is a part of it. My cheat answer is Guy Incognito, though. # Puffy Tail. JWK at Jonathan Camp, has to be Max Power. 1, it is name you want to touch. 2, it came from a hairdryer. In 3, can't be abbreviated. Ted at Super Tomorrow, Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow. We have Wesley at West Perma. Armin Tamzarian was earth-shattering, added a dark dimension to Skinner with a rare glimpse into a character's backstory. I totally forgot about Mr. Tamzarian. Who doesn't technically exist. We have
not anymore, he doesn't.
Spurs guy at Presbygon. Mr. Burns is a concerned citizen trying to convince Springfield to give money to the power plant in March vs. Monorail, a.k.a. Mr. Schnurub. I like the way Schnurub thinks. Let's see. On Facebook, we have Abby. Dumb Lisa from Summer of 4'2". I loved it when she said, like, you know, whatever. Also, beats doing stuff is part of my regular vocabulary now. We have Scott's answer, which is simply, say hello to Miguel Sanchez. That's great. Elliot, we have a noble spirit in Biggin's the Smallest Man, or so said Jebediah Springfield, or should I say Hans Sprungfeld, the pirate who came the closest to killing George Washington. Oops, gotta go, my Johnny cakes are ready. Aaron's answer, the beer baron, satisfying a dry Springfield one bathtub mint julep at a time. And finally, Joanna's answer, has to be Burns alien, hashtag I bring you love. A lifetime of working in a nuclear power plant has given me a healthy green glow. Gotta love this episode and the guest stars. Rest in peace, Leonard Nimoy. It is a classic. And that is true. Matt, what is your answer? Is it what I think it is?
Yeah, I'm going to have to stick with my answer from last week. And since it was pretty much the first one I think of, and I still sing the stupid song, Max Power. Because that's just, a fantastic name. Two, it's off a hairdryer. And three, literally the song, I can't stop singing in my head whenever I think of an alter ego. So that's what I'm going to stick with.
I was all on board with it. And Max Power probably was the most popular answer. We got a lot of Max Powers. Can't blame you. It's a great answer. I got swayed. I'm Hans Sprungfeld, Jebediah Springfield.
Nah.
I love Lisa that comes.
That is a good one.
I love that episode so much. And I love the fact that Jebediah Springfield is secretly a pirate and trying to kill George Washington. And he has the Hans Sprungfeld, like the same last name almost. It's so stupid.
Well, yeah, he had to make his new name kind of sound like his old name so he could remember to be called by it.
it can't go too far away. So, folks, next week's question. What is your favorite Maggie moment and why? She has a few episodes in there, but I think of more and more iconic Maggie things are just like bits of other episodes. So I want you guys favorite Maggie moment, or, you know, scene, etc. and why. I'll post this question on all social media. It'll be on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. It's on our Twitter at SimpsonsShowPod. And you can, again, as previously mentioned, email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Now, Matt. You know what time it is, right?
The scariest time of the week?
It's not that scary, but
it's kind of scary.
It is time for best.
Mainly because I really don't have any idea where to put this one.
It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show. Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. And Matt has a good point. I have no idea where to put this one either. I'm looking around at this thing. I'm like, where does this go?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at. It's easy to just look at one episode and say, oh, is it better or worse than this? And I'm looking down here and I'm like, well, is it better than Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington? Not really. That one has more of a purpose and everything.
Well,
oh brother, we're out there.
I want you say purpose, and I think that's interesting because that's I think how we look at it a lot of times, Matt. Like, is there like a direct drive? Like, what is this episode doing? And like, it's tight, and like everything is focused on one story or an A or a B story, you know, interspersed. But as you were actually playing this when I was at Matt's house earlier today, and he was playing this just for us to watch it, and I was trying to think of it like in the moment when this was new, like people were watching this and loved The Simpsons and were really, you know, they were fascinated by the show. They were like, what they saw in this episode is a lot of like ambiance of Springfield. Like you see the different characters like frustrated with the traffic jam. You see Kit Brockman and Arnie Pie interacting. You see Barney's omelet recipe. Like, you know, Wiggum dealing with Quimby. You get, like, Rancho Relaxo and Troy McClure. And you get, like, cattle skull testing grounds, like those weird like little bits of things, ambiance and character in just the city. And I'm trying to like,
that's true. It's like the city is the main character of this episode, the city and its other people.
Yeah. And like, it's harder to quantify that. I think that's why they don't do as well in the rankings, because it's not as easy to just say, this is how much stuff we learn. Like, I think we kind of take that for granted because we've seen tons of the Simpsons and we know all the kind of background stuff and we know all this weirdness of this in the, of Springfield and all these characters, so it's kind of old hat to us. But I think that we should try and consider that a little bit when we're weighing these. I don't want to push us too far away, because I still think that the best episodes are the ones that are very tight and concise about their like statement. But it just kind of sprung on me earlier. Like, it's something that's old hat to us because we've seen these episodes so many times, but that all that character and ambiance about of Springfield and the Simpsons, I think should be considered.
You definitely make a good point. And like you said, that's
I still don't know where this goes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a cliched story. I mean, I think what really puts this one over the top into being a really good episode is the whole thing with Homer losing Maggie and all the goofy stuff about Rancho Relaxo and Patty and Selma. I mean, turns it from a regular sitcom storyline to something that could be considered a Simpsons classic.
Yeah.
And it's still so hard to put. I mean,
I would actually put it. I mentioned earlier about Blood Feud and Marge and that. Mm-hmm. I would say right below Blood Feud.
I could definitely get on board with that.
I would say above Treehouse of Horror 2. I do like it better than Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington. Mr. Lisa Goes to Washington is more concise, but it's not as funny. It's about Lisa and her character, which is good. But the best Lisa episodes still managed to, I think all the best episodes managed to have character and are hilarious. I think Blood Feud's better. Treehouse of Horror 2 is good, but I don't think it's as good as the Treehouse of Horrors end up getting. So
right.
Yeah, so
I especially like this one because it has so many funny moments in it that I'm sure when, you know, the first time I saw this episode, they were really funny. Like all the Rancho Relaxo stuff, I know I laughed out loud at the first time. And now when I see it, I'm like, ha, that's funny. But it doesn't hit you quite as the weird, quirky stuff does for the first time. Yeah. So I think that definitely helps a lot on your first viewing.
Yeah, I agree. So 21, new 21, get on the board with that.
I like it.
Okay, so new 21, guys, Homer Alone. That will put, let me see, I'll type it in here. We can. I'll put Homer's Odyssey at a square round number 50. And Lisa's Substitute, still number one, although a lot of competition still took so many good episodes coming up. It's really hard. Let's see. Best episode ever. Yes, you can find this list on our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Everything is there. New episodes, downloadable streaming, all that stuff. This list, I break it down, you see overall list and by season. You can also contact us, comment on the episodes, donate to the show. We'd obviously appreciate that. What's our next episode, Matt?
Our next episode is Bart the Lover.
Ooh, Bart the Lover. It's a good one. We've recently had a trivia question about Bart the Lover, so looking forward to discuss it. Let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter. It's at MixmasterSheerl. It's MixmasterSheerl. You can please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour. HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com. Available iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
No, but apparently pictures of my cufflinks are all over the Simpsons subreddit, so feel free to check it out and leave a comment.
Yes, they're burning up all the social media. I put it everywhere, Matt. I put it on Facebook, I put it on Twitter, I put it on Reddit, and half love you and half are making fun of your shirt, so it's Reddit.
Well, yeah. Hey, if that's all they're doing and they're not calling me horrible names and calling you a terrible person for posting it, then we win Reddit, pretty much. I mean, come on.
that's true. That's fair. But with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.